Well, good afternoon, Lake Norman, and welcome to Town Talk. We're coming to you live from WSIC, the Real Talk studio, nestled on the banks of beautiful Lake Norman, streaming worldwide from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, to San Diego, California. I'm your host, Bill Russell, president of Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, the largest chamber of commerce in the Charlotte region. My guests today are Kathleen Rose. She's the president of Rose Associates Incorporated. We have Trent Gustafson, president of Gustafson Partners Commercial Real Estate, and Charles Knox, president of the Knox Group. Charles, 1964, on this particular date, Cassius Clay. Bill, do you know who Cassius Clay was?
Oh, I'm familiar.
Okay, who was Cassius Clay?
The Muhammad Ali, the champ.
Cassius Clay, on this day, March 6, 1964, Cassius Clay changed his name to Muhammad Ali. There you have the rest of the story. Also on this day, the Alamo in Texas fell to Mexican General Santa Anta in a 13-day siege. William Barrett Buck Travis was the commander there. He set up the Texas Revolution and led that revolt. He was from Saluda, South Carolina, Charles. This day lost his life in the Alamo. And March is significant because this is American Women's History Month. Women's History Month is an annual observance to the highlight and contributions of women to events in the history and contemporary society. And we have somebody who's made a lasting impact, and we're going to come back to you in just a minute. Also, today at 3 o'clock, just 1 hour ago, Davidson College is playing South Carolina in baseball, taking place in Columbia, South Carolina. Currently, the score is 4-1, and Charles Knox Jr. was a pitcher for Davidson College back in his day.
It has been a while. Quite a while. And Bill and I like to try to make that Davidson USC baseball game every year. And unfortunately, we had a conflict, but I'm very happy to be here instead, particularly because we're losing 4-1.
What was your pitch? What was your best pitch?
Curveball.
Curveball.
I was a junk pitcher.
A big night last night in Lake Norman in terms of a political breakdown. U.S. House District Number 10, Gray Mills, who has been an outstanding legislator in the North Carolina General Assembly, lost to Pat Harrington, 41%, 39%. House District 8, Mark Harris has emerged. He beat Cornelius businessman John Bradford, who placed third in that race. Again, John has been somebody who has served very effectively in the House for us. Tim Moore, District 14, was 3-1. He won by 75% of the vote. House District Number 84, Jeff McNeely, who has a show right here on WSIC, he was victorious. And State House 98, in the Democratic primary, Beth Helfrich defeated Lisa Jewell, both Davidson residents. You said you knew Beth through Tim?
Well, Beth and her family, they own the Summit Coffee, which, of course, is an institution in Davidson on Main Street.
And congratulations to Senator Natasha Marcus. She's the clear winner in the Democratic primary for insurance commissioner, and she's currently the Senate District 41, and she'll be facing off Mike Causey in that particular race in November. Jeff Tart, who is the chairman of the board of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, he lost for state auditor, so he's going to be focusing attention just solely now to the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. I don't know whether that's good or bad. Charles, your family is like a political royalty here in Davidson. Your Uncle Joe was the mayor of Mooresville. Uncle Russell was the mayor of Davidson. You had Eddie Russell, who was in Charlotte all at the same time. Then you had Cousin Gary, who was the mayor of Cornelius, and now Cousin Rusty, again mayor of Davidson. When are you going to do something?
Well, not anytime soon, I don't think. I don't think. It's gotten to be I'm very grateful for the folks that have stepped up in my family to do that, and Rusty, I think, is doing a very good job. No offense, Rusty, I think you're doing a much better job than I actually thought you might, but I think it's tough these days. I admire the people who step up and run, and the ones even that didn't succeed, I tip my hat to them.
So. Yeah, doing a fantastic job. And we've had Rusty in here a number of times. You know, Rusty is, he comes from a political family, but he would be the first one to say he's not a politician. He's a realtor and a musician, and probably enjoys the latter more than anything. Kathleen, again, we said salute to the history of women, and you're the founder of Rose & Associates Southeast. Your clients include local governments, nonprofit institutions, private equity. You and I got our start maybe back 20 years ago when you helped create PIES, which is the Project for Innovation, Energy, and Sustainability. It was a green industries incubator serving as a public-private partnership. Lehman Brice was very involved in it. In 2014, PIES was awarded the Region of Excellence Award for Central Atlanta Council of Governments. Speak to a little bit about why it was important, or did you feel it was important to grow be an incubator for those businesses?
Yeah, well, in 2012, our firm did the Economic Development Strategic Plan for the town of Davidson, and part of that was, you know, so many times communities are chasing the big fish and the big corporate clients that come in and bring hundreds of jobs, and what we focused on was small business and entrepreneurship. So PIES was a pilot project that we started in one of the buildings that we happen to own and manage down on South Main Street, and it grew, and then we merged it eventually after that, winning that award. We merged it in with Launch LKN, which was another group that was making some efforts in that regard. And they had the funding, and we had the nonprofit, so they went ahead and merged with us. And ultimately, that my headphones aren't staying on. Ultimately, that landed at the Hurt Hub. And so, and I think they've now since transitioned and expanded their reach into Charlotte. So now it's called Launch CLT. So yeah, right. It's been a very successful entrepreneurial hub. They're part of the Hurt Hub in Davidson, which is Davidson College's incubator as well. And it's a joint effort. Flywheel is in there and a couple of others. So it spoke to what we always have known here, and what we brought out was the intellectual capital that exists not only in Davidson but in the Lake Norman area. There's a lot of smart, very successful people that are kind of hiding in the shadows and working from home or working now remotely. So we just wanted to tap into that.
And you're one of them. I mean, from the very onset, you've been working with our towns on economic development initiatives, working with a number of firms, and all across the state. Talk about how you have really worked with Davidson, Cornelius, Huntersville, Mooresville, our area, in terms of their economic and downtown revitalization.
Well, a lot of it started with really, first and foremost, years ago, just identifying really two things simultaneously. One is identifying the unique characteristics of each of the three towns, because they are each very different. Huntersville had the history of the agricultural history and the farms. Of course, Cornelius with the lake, with a lot of shoreline along Lake Norman. And then, of course, Davidson College with the college and the university, you know, with what's going on with the education system. So they were all really uniquely different, but how can we do that and still bring them all together in a regional effort to work cross-collaterally, if you will, and start to really market the area as a region, but with unique individual communities.
And oftentimes businesses, and I remember last year when we had Burt Deal Phase 2, we were just talking about that, going before the planning board and the town board, you were able to come out and speak to why some of the things that they were trying to do was so important to our community.
Yeah, and so the big push right now in economic development is really all about talent attraction. You know, it really went from let's get a piece of land and make sure we have workers, et cetera, but now it's all about attracting talent, and we have a lot of millennials that we want to bring things to their interests so they'll move to the area.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about that. We're going to flip it over to the sponsors and stay with us on Town Talk, and we're going to talk about our market. Thank you, those who are still streaming on us. Kathleen, we're right now, we're on all the other social media platforms. We're on Twitter, which is X now, it's not Twitter. I don't know if you do you X out. Do you X? You used to tweet, right? Now you X out.
I barely tweeted.
We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. For those people who work out in gyms, unlike me, do you work out in the gym? Do you do that?
I work out at home.
Okay, well there you go. But the little podcast, Spotify, we're on that as well. We use this time to talk about Chamber of Commerce activities, and Bill alluded to a little while ago yesterday. Yesterday, we had a ribbon cutting at the Peach Cobbler Factory, which is located right in front of the Kane Center for the Arts, right down from the town hall. And not only do they have peach cobbler, which was delicious, they have cherry cobbler, they have banana pudding. And Charles, I used to think my grandmother Feaster's banana pudding was the best in the world, and I still think it's so. But I had some banana pudding yesterday. It was pretty doggone good. Cinnamon rolls, cookies, brownies, Belgian waffles. They got your dessert.
You're making me hungry.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what. The Peach Cobbler Factory, that was fantastic. Today, we had a group ribbon cutting. We had four businesses at the Chamber of Commerce. This happened at 11 o'clock today. Theodore Lemons with Sims Private Investigations, Kayla Corbin with Corbin Health Coaching, Wyatt Outeridge and Joe Russell with New York Life Insurance, and Bob Duane with Gramps all had their ribbon cuttings. Next Wednesday, got another ribbon cutting for Waterstone Condominiums and Century Communities in Sherrill Ford. Charles, you're past chairman of the Chamber of Commerce. 52 ribbon cuttings in 2023 that the Lake Norman mm-hmm. Chamber did. That's phenomenal. I mean, just the number of ribbon cuttings. And I got to tell you, when you're president of the Chamber of Commerce and you're watching these business owners cut the ribbon for their business and you see the excitement in their face knowing that they are doing that, it makes it, that's why I do what I do. I just love seeing that. But great, great progress and things happening in our community. We have a BizNet next week at the Chamber of Commerce, 3 o'clock to 4:30. And what purpose of BizNet is to allow people to understand what their chamber membership can do for them, really to get you orientated into our website. So, Kathleen, if you're on the website and you're looking at that information's older, that's not my logo because I've used the wrong logo before. If you want to make changes to it, you can make changes to it. So, BizNet next week at the Chamber of Commerce. Leslie puts that on 3 o'clock to 4:30. Next Thursday at the Chamber of Commerce. Hope you can join us for that. We're going to go back live on just a few moments, and thank you for staying with us on social media on Town Talk.
Now more Town Talk with Lake Norman Chamber President Bill Russell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to Town Talk. I'm your host, Bill Russell. My guests today are Kathleen Rose. She's the President of Rose Associates, Trenton Gustafson. He is the president of Gustafson Partners Commercial Real Estate, and Charles Knox, president of the Knox Group Incorporated. Kathleen, before we went to break, we were talking about some of the things that your organization does for our towns and with their development, with their downtowns. I want to ask you, what is the market telling us right now in light of the current economy?
Well, as I started to mention before we went to the break, is that you know, economic development has shifted from attracting companies to attracting talent because they found that they need to get new. The next generation of workers has different needs and requirements. You know, in the old days, those of us with gray hair, we got a job and then we moved to wherever the job was. Now, millennials and Gen Zers are choosing where they want to live first and then figuring out the job piece. So it's all about lifestyle for them. So it's been a big shift, and that really occurred in 2017 when Amazon announced their second HQ. And in that RFP, they put two things that were never before in a request for proposals. One was cultural community fit and quality of life. And so that really started to change the dynamics. So with that, we work with a lot of communities on really helping them to understand quality of life. In fact, we're developing a scorecard so that we can actually measure it quantitatively, and we'll be rolling that out in the next few months.
Last year, I called on you and Charles to come out and meet with a couple of our town board commissioners from the town of Cornelius. They were looking at adopting a new land use plan, something that Huntersville has also done. They've taken on some new land use plans. Land use is changing. And how we're doing things, particularly here in Cornelius. We talked about how we couldn't continue to go horizontal. We just don't have the land to go horizontal. We had to go vertical. And we had a discussion, the three of us, you, Charles, and myself, on what elements needed to take place. And they were trying to restrict height in certain places. So talked about some of the trends that you're seeing, not just here in Lake Norman, but in many of the rural communities across North Carolina in terms of land use.
Yeah, well, if for a lot of communities, some of them have a lot of land and excess inventory of vacant land, and some of them don't, like Cornelius is very constrained. So that has different strategies associated with it. We just finished working with a planning firm that did the Iredell County comprehensive land use plan, and part of that plan was focused on preservation because they really were concerned about keeping the rural areas rural. Davidson had a similar process when they went through their comprehensive plan. So I always encourage people to make sure when there are comprehensive plan efforts that residents and community leaders really get involved in that discussion because it helps set the vision for the community. And many times, you know, people lament about ordinances or zoning regulations, and what happens is the comprehensive plan happens way before those are put into place, and that sets a vision and acts as a guideline for the community and the staff and the elected officials. And then it's followed by your zoning and your ordinances. So those are the regulating documents that, you know, fulfill that plan.
Trent, have you had a lot of experience here in our North Mecklenburg market prior to Burkdale Place?
Very little. We had some smaller projects that we had pursued, and really none of them, you know, made it to through fruition. So, you know, Burkdale was really our first, you know, full-fledged experience with the Lake Norman community, as well as, you know, certainly Huntersville, and a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that now that we've, you know, kind of reached a certain point in the project that I can see light at the end of the tunnel.
I want to ask you about Burkdale Place, but before we move that particular project, tell me a little bit about your commercial development.
Sure. Yeah, my background, my experience, I mean, really, we've been opportunity-driven. So if we are able to, you know, identify a piece of real estate or a property that we feel, you know, has some opportunities with, you know, restaurant tenants, retail tenants. Usually it's in a, you know, an area that already has established retail. And so, you know, just doing various gap analysis and other different, you know, I guess processes to identify various tenants, you know, we'd get control of the property, and then normally it's created like a commercial subdivision, mm-hmm. you know, similar to a residential subdivision. So we'll put in the master infrastructure, and then we'll either lease or we'll, you know, construct buildings for various tenants. And it's been predominantly throughout the greater, you know, Charlotte MSA. You know, we've gone out further west of North Carolina, you know, but that's more tenant-driven, you know, where a tenant says, hey, we're looking for, you know, an opportunity to do another restaurant here in, you know, western Asheville or wherever. And then we've kind of gone in that direction with that assignment.
You've gone through the planning board and the town board. It's approved project. You've broken ground. I'm seeing stuff happening in front of Burkdale Village. Tell me about Burkdale Place. What's happening?
It's been very dynamic. I mean, we've been very fortunate. You know, kind of the history with the Burkdale Golf Club, and even, you know, Charles, his family going, you know, years back. You know, really, public golf courses, probably since 2008, were struggling, really mm-hmm. having a hard time. And Burkdale Golf Club was in a portfolio of golf clubs where Burkdale Golf Club was really kind of the jewel of the portfolio. And so it was kind of a Robin Peter to pay Paul. But really, it turned into an opportunity when the current operator, unfortunately, defaulted. Lender took it back, and so we approached the lender, came up with the idea of eliminating the practice facility, the driving range, and creating a mixed-use project, but also retaining the 18-hole golf course. And so, you know, with that, you know, certainly it's taken a lot of different turns, and it's, you know, probably was a two-year process just going through the planning and exercises with the town of Huntersville. And then the pandemic hit. So certainly everything was put on hold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably took another year and a half, 2 years to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But, you know, now that we're under construction, we can see light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we've really can appreciate, you know, the scrutiny and the multiple public meetings and the community meetings. It's kind of piggybacking off of what Kathleen was talking about with the economic, you know, benefits. We went through a scenario, talked about the economic benefits, you know, the construction benefits, the operating benefits, but really what we learned is the subjective benefits to the residents, you know, particularly those in the Burkdale subdivision. And we had, like I said, multiple community meetings, and it really came out loud in those meetings that the quality of life, you know, being in proximity to the golf course, being on the golf course, was of utmost importance to them. And so they gave us their support, knowing that the golf course had been struggling,
uh-huh.
needed significant capital improvements, and really the mixed-use project, Burkdale Place, was the vehicle that enabled us to do that. And so, you know, now they've converted all the greens to a Bermuda grass. They've spent significant dollars on the exterior of the clubhouse. And so really have you know, brought that public golf course up to a, you know, an operating golf course that the residents can be proud of. Now we're still, you know, probably 80-85%, you know, open and operating, and we're kind of in the off season right now. And it is a multi, you know, staged project. So there will be additional improvements, you know, to the golf course itself. But none of that would have been able to really come to fruition if it wasn't for the mixed use project, you know, Brookdale Place, to really be that catalyst.
Trent, I don't know if you've announced any of your tenants, but what kind of tenant mix are you looking for?
Yeah, predominantly, you know, specialty retail and restaurants. You know, we've been, again, blessed to be in the shadows of Brookdale Village. Brookdale Village has been very successful, you know, over the last 22 years, I think. And so, you know, most of our restaurants are, you know, they're going to be restaurants that are both, you know, fast casual, I guess, as we define them, as well as a full service restaurant. You know, initially we had a lot of interest from some larger big box users, but, you know, just in working with staff and working with the residents, we wanted to keep it, you know, at a smaller scale. We're still talking to a couple specialty grocers, but haven't yet been able to announce who that is yet. So, but we will shortly. Our first building is going to be turned over to tenants probably, you know, this summer, and then we'll be able to announce, you know, our first kind of stage, I guess, with tenants. So in that building alone, it's probably about 7 tenants, and we have 5 out of those 7 already leased, pre-leased.
What attracted you to Huntersville or Lake Norman? What was really the selling point for you?
Well, we had, like I said, we had some tries here before in Huntersville. And, you know, the disposable income, household income, I mean, a lot of the demographics that really drive, you know, successful real estate projects, Huntersville has it. And, you know, like I said before, we're opportunity driven. And, you know, one of my business partners, Bob Percival, of all people, he, in his network of folks, had a relationship with the lender who actually took back, you know, Brookdale Golf Club, as I had mentioned before. And so one thing led to another. And then just as everybody has probably driven past, you know, that driving range and seen those practice nets, and maybe thought, gosh, that'd be a great opportunity to develop or put something there. With all the different challenges and entitlement, you know, challenges, it just really took a much bigger project, including the golf course, to get that, you know, behind you to push us through the entitlement process.
I got to say, Trent, you did a great job thinking about that outside the box, because I live here. I was part of Brookdale when it was built. I never thought to redevelop the golf course driving range, and it's, you know, it's creative thinking like that I commend you for, because it's going to be a great project.
You have other uses as well as retail in there, right? You had hotel and...
Right, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We have a 141-room hotel that's planned there. We have a multifamily, which is about 220 units, luxury units.
And we're going to go to break. We'll continue this in just a second. Thank you for staying on Town Talk, and we're going to hear from our sponsors. For those of you who are streaming with us, thanks for staying with us on Town Talk. We were just talking about some of the things that you're going to be having over there at the particular restaurant, I mean, at the Brookdale Place. Charles, you were the board chair in 2000, I think your family owned the land over there at Brookdale, didn't you, at one particular point?
My father and his business partner, Murray Kelly, owned a big part of what is the golf course residential community, including up to where the driving range and actually both sides of Brookdale Commons Parkway. So that's been a while. So,
I've got to ask you a question. You know, as a past chamber chair, what are the things that you think as a Chamber of Commerce we do extremely well?
I think we do several things that other chambers don't. We advocate pretty well at the local and state level, even to some extent at the federal level. For a chamber of our size, I think we have a big voice, bigger than a lot. I think we do a good job of representing smaller businesses, which is the, you know, we've talked a lot about that in earlier discussions about who our real base of of business is, and it is the entrepreneurs. And I was been a member of the Charlotte Chamber, which is now called something else for forever, and I never felt like they catered to or cared about the small business like our chamber here does.
You know, Trent, Charles was involved in very early on our Highway 73, what is now the Highway 73 Council Planning. We were looking at doing widening Highway 73 all the way from Concord over into Lincoln. And that's a multi-jurisdictional study. And when we went to DOT in North Carolina, they said, well, we don't do that. We can't have three different counties and 12 different local municipalities involved in a study like that. And we continued to work with the legislature, and we got it done, largely because the three chambers, the Cabarrus Regional Chamber, Lincoln County Chamber, Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, came together, worked with our legislators, and out of that was born the Highway 73 Council Planning. And you were very involved in that. Share what Council Planning does.
I'll give Emmett Robertson, who was he was a senior VP, I believe, over at Northeast Medical back when Cabarrus County's hospital wasn't affiliated with Atrium. And he was on our board as well as on their board, and he would come across for meetings, and he would complain about how bad traffic was on 73, and he sort of germinated the idea that we need to get this road widened. And I think it was pretty creative and pretty novel for us to go to DOT and say, look, we've gotten the communities together. We've gotten the chambers together. We want to see this happen. And I can't remember the lady's name with DOT who was helpful in that regard, but she was instrumental in helping us get funding for that. And the towns put some money up, and the chamber put some money up to fund that study. And it was the first time that land use and transportation had been put together.
Redhead, I can't remember her name, but she was a really nice lady. For those who are streaming with us, we're going back live in just about 10 seconds. So thank you for staying with us.
Call now to speak with Lake Norman Chamber President Bill Russell at 844-STUDIO-4. It's Town Talk on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to Town Talk. We're talking with Charles Knox Jr., the president of Knox Group, Trent Gustafson with Gustafson Partners Commercial Real Estate, Kathleen Rose, Rose & Associates. Trent, before we went to break, Kathleen was asking you about some of the amenities that you are planning on having. Kind of go back over that. What are some of the things we can look forward to?
Well, the other product types that are in Birkdale Place is we have luxury units, multifamily units that are currently under construction. Twilliger Pappas is the apartment developer constructing those. And I think they're scheduled to turn over or start leasing units sometime May of 25. So they have a little ways to go. We also have the hotel I had mentioned, which is Narcy Properties. It's a 140-room hotel. Currently, it's being branded as a Hilton hotel. Now, time will tell. Yeah, we believe it's probably going to be another year, maybe even 2 years before they break ground, just due to the financial challenges right now in the marketplace. And then, as I'd mentioned before, we're still talking to various retailers and restaurant operators trying to lease up our commercial space. And I can't say enough, though, about the golf course itself, because we recently reopened it in November, which is kind of an off-season or start of the off-season. And it's just, we're in a honeymoon period because the residents, there's been so much pent-up demand. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And fortunately now we've had a great turnout, and we're fortunate having a moderate climate here where people can play golf, basically year-round. And so we hope as the project continues and we, get some of the construction, out of the way, so to speak, there'll just even be more demand for golfers.
I'm curious if you made any changes to the plan since, the evolution of the plan through COVID. I mean, not only the challenges of going through the local process, but during COVID, I'm curious if your lenders shifted or, because hotels went from forget it to now they're popular again, and it's been all over the place.
Yeah, there were some, but at that time, I mean, we literally were ready to start like March of 2020, and that's when really the pandemic, everybody was taking it seriously. And our lender at the time withdrew and said, just with hospitality, everything just had a red flag. And so that's what required us or forced us really to take a step back and try to, you know, put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And, you know, in terms of changes with the plan, there's probably some minor changes, but at that point, you know, we were 100% entitled. We didn't want to go back.
Yeah.
And then we knew too that there were also, you know, proposed changes to the ordinance that Huntersville was looking at that, you know, if you're vested for 3 years, make sure you get what you need right. done or started in 3 years because it's going to change. And so we just, mm-hmm. you know, kept our nose down, kept pushing to try to get the financing in place. And we're fortunate, you know, that we were able to do that.
Speaking of big developments, we've got something going on in Huntersville this weekend. My producer, Bill, said we have Aaron Hintz on the phone talking about an event coming to Huntersville. Aaron, welcome to Town Talk.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So
great. I'm glad. I'm a big fan, and I appreciate everything you do. I just wanted to give you an update on everything Carolina Diving Academy is doing right now and how we're preparing for next week's big dive competition. That will be
the
first professional diving competition in the country, at least in the last 30 years or so.
Tell me about it.
Cool. Training to make Olympic trials and hopefully make a team, depending on how they perform there. And then we'll have five of the top girls in the country that are coming into town to compete platform and 3 meter. And it'll be a great show for everyone on the 15th and 16th of March next week.
Aaron, some of these people that are going to be in Huntersville, we could probably see them performing in the Olympics. Is that right?
It's possible. It's possible. There are we have the girl who placed third on platform at the Olympic trials in 2020 or 21 rather. And she will be here competing to get warmed up for her performance at Olympic trials. So it is conceivable that she could make a top two finish and go to the Olympics. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting event.
And you're working with Visit Lake Norman, I think, on this event, right?
I am. I'm working with Visit Lake Norman. I'm working with Visit Charlotte. I'm working with Huntersville Parks and Rec. I am working with the Chamber. Thank you, Bill. And trying to promote this event. And this is the first of what we hope to be an annual tradition where we bring, you know, 600 people into town to see diving and compete diving. This the pro event is in conjunction with our annual Big Dive Invitational that has 600 folks from all up and down the East Coast and Minnesota and Texas and every all points in between coming into Huntersville for the weekend.
And filling up our hotel rooms and our restaurants.
That's the point.
Trent, do you hear that?
I do. That's great.
Aaron, like room nights.
Trent's going to build you a new hotel to fill it.
Outstanding. I love to hear that. We'll have to partner next year and promote the rooms.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Aaron, and thank you for informing us about this big event coming up.
Well, Bill, thanks for your time. I've always been a fan of the show.
Thank you, sir.
That's exciting. I can't imagine jumping off one of those platforms, much less trying to jump off and spin around three times.
We're getting a lot of sports-related, you know, between the Bass Tournament and...
Sally Ashworth and her staff at Visit Lake Norman do a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Bill, my producer in the other room, when we started off this, we talked about we're streaming worldwide from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico to San Diego, California. There's one person at this table that has both of those commonalities. I think, Charles, you recently came back from Mexico?
Puerto Vallarta.
Say it again.
Puerto Vallarta.
Well, you can tell I'm not Latino, okay? I'm from Rock Hill, South Carolina. We just don't talk like that. But San Diego, California, I think you got your real estate start in San Diego.
Yeah, I sure did. I graduated from Davidson and decided to move to the left coast. Had a job opportunity with a mixed-use developer out there, Oliver McMillan. I call that my five-year real estate MBA. Worked for a great couple of guys, Jim McMillan and Dean Oliver, and I had a lot of fun, and that was where I got my start.
And then I think your father lured you back to Cornelius, North Carolina, to work in the Knox Group. Is that right?
Well, the real story is the economy went off a cliff in San Diego, but I'd been talking to my dad about starting the company, so the timing was pretty good. You always want to start a business at the depths of a recession. Because there's no place to go but up. So I hitched my wagon to my now current wife, Colette, and brought her back across country with me. And we started the company in 1991. So,
wow, we started ours in 92 for a lot of the same reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a great time to start. Anytime it's a great time to start a business, in my opinion. But at the same time, I think there's some advantages to starting when times are tough, because you have to work a little harder. And I think that's just an interesting way to go.
So. Trent had brought up the pandemic and COVID and how it changed things, particularly people working from home and people working from the office. And when Burkdale Phase 2 was being discussed and the need to create additional Class A office space, I remember one person getting up there and saying why we didn't need that Class A office space, that this needed to be turned down. And she said, as a matter of fact, I have Class A office space and none of my people want to come to work here. I kind of think it's, they didn't want to work with her. But the fact of the matter is, there is a need for Class A office space. People just want to be closer to their homes. They don't want to necessarily be in Davidson and drive to Charlotte to their office. So talk to us about what you're seeing in terms of occupancy rates, particularly when it comes to Class A office space here in the North Mecklenburg market.
I call it two worlds. We have the big box office, like big box retail. You have over near the university, you have buildings that may be 150,000, 250,000 square feet, or the big towers uptown. In our market, we have very few of those. Huntersville has the park with some larger office space. There's the Burkdale Point, which is the rebranded name of the couple of buildings that had Rubbermaid and Newell in it. But in general, we're a small office market, and frankly, we have too little of it. If you look at the vacancy rates overall, in Charlotte, it's gone from, I think, we're at a 22-year low as far as the, I'm not low on vacancy, but we're at a 22-year low on people per square foot of office working. But that does not translate well to North Mac. North Mac has the lowest vacancy rate of any of the submarkets in town. I pulled some numbers so I wouldn't have to go by memory. Our office vacancy rate is 12.4%, where it's 22% or 24% for the overall market for Charlotte. And 10% is sort of the healthy level of a market, because it allows new companies to move here or companies to expand. Our businesses in general are 1,000 feet to 5,000 feet of need, not 25,000 to 100,000 square feet of need. So we don't have enough good small space.
When we're going to come back, we're going to talk about more of that, and I want your comments on Burkdale Place and also on Burkdale Phase 2 that you spoke about. For those of you who are listening to us on Town Talk, we're going to our sponsors, and we'll be right back after their messages. So I was about 15 seconds ahead on that one. For those of you streaming with us, thanks for staying on. We're going to go back to some talking about some Chamber of Commerce activities next week, next Tuesday, March the 12th. Our WINS, which is Women Influence in Networking and Sharing group. It's primarily a program for women, but Trent, that doesn't mean you can't come. Charles, you can come if you want to. But they will be meeting at H2 Public House. That's 8:30 to 9, well, 8:30 to about 10. This month's speaker will be Solonia Baskins with her Progressive Business and Finance. She was last week's speaker here on Town Talk, but she's going to be sharing a little bit about her business and with the women, and it's a great networking event. Coffee Connection, we have that tomorrow at the Lux of Huntersville, 8:30 to 10. So it's a great opportunity to come out and network. Next Thursday the 14th, we're going to be back at the Lux of Huntersville. So that's not a typo on my part. Business After Hours, 14th, 5:30 to 7 is going to be at the Lux Business After Hours. Charles, again, former chairman of the Chamber of Commerce, you were our chairman in 2000. We had 98 networking events in 2023. 98 networking events. That's two a week. In terms of...
Didn't we used to average one or two a month?
Yeah, we used to have the third Thursday was the business after hours, and that was it. Now we have something going on all of the time. But Kathleen, how important is networking to that small business owner?
It's really important. I just wish I weren't traveling around North and South Carolina so much where I could come to more of these. But, you know, as you know, Bill, there's several different networking groups in the region. And, I mean, it's important. Business is still built on relationships, right? Uh-huh. So I think it's important to, you know, get out there and see folks and network and learn what other people are doing. And you learn a lot about what's going on in the marketplace, too.
Right. Charles, you're still able to come out to some of our networking events. It's good to have you there.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I wish I could get to more.
For those of you who are streaming with us, we're going to go back live on the radio in probably about 15 seconds. So thank you for staying with us, and we're going to go back to Town Talk.
It's Town Talk with Lake Norman Chamber President Bill Russell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to Town Talk. I'm your host, Bill Russell. I have Kathleen Rose. She's with Rose Associates. Trent Gustafson with Gustafson Partners Real Estate. Charles Knox with the Knox Group. Right before we went to break, we were talking about, office space. And you were at the hearing that we were talking about, public hearing, when Burkdale was looking at phase two and some of the resistance to some of the things that they were talking about. Why did you believe that we needed to move forward with phase two?
Well, for a variety of reasons, as Charles pointed out, despite what's going on in the office market in light of the pandemic, there are still needs for offices. And what we mm-hmm. saw was really a shift in what we call the flight to quality.
Right.
So folks, to your point, didn't want to get in the car and drive, that arduous commute every day to the office, and they wanted to get closer to home. So we're seeing the suburban markets are really, performing a lot stronger than the urban centers are. And that has to do with a lot of things. It's both the commute, the frustrations with commuting. Some of the inner cities and center cities are struggling with crime issues and homelessness. And we're just not seeing that out in the suburban areas as much. So although that's certainly being addressed in Charlotte, and Charlotte's probably on top of things more than any other major city, but it's still a challenge where people got accustomed to that remote work thing. They do check the data in terms of the stats on return to work, and we're pretty much normalized at a 32-hour work week or a 30-hour work week. Most folks are working a hybrid of going to the office a couple days a week and then working remotely or on the golf course mm-hmm. on Friday and Monday, so it tends to be Tuesday to Thursday are the peak hours. I forgot the name of the company that tracks, when the cards for security going through buildings, but they track the occupancy rates of folks checking into their offices, and it's back up to about 50% to 60% right now.
Trent, you alluded to you went through the process of the planning board and the town board, and it was a good process for you, but it's not always. It sometimes can be quite challenging for a developer trying to get something through town boards. Charles, you and I both know the obstacles that developers face. You have those costs. You have the rising construction costs. How's that impacting our lease rates here in North Mecklenburg in particular?
Well, it's driving them up a lot. We just did the first office deal that my company's ever done north of $35 a square foot in our market, which I've been around a long time, and it's hard to conceive of office rates being that high. I'm sure the office or the retail rates in your project, I don't know where they may land, but I bet at least a 4 is on the starting number. The other thing that comes to mind through that discussion we just had was that there's a flight to what I call quality of life type of office.
Right.
So we had a client recently that was looking, and their driving factors were, can we be walking distance to a brewery or a restaurant? Mm-hmm. And it was a engineering firm, mm-hmm. Which you would think it's not like it's a boutique kind of group, but it all has to do with hiring talent.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I think the projects like Trent's or the expansion of Burkdale or even our renovation of Oak Street Mill in Cornelius will be attractive is because the quality is in the building, but also in the quality of life in the surrounding walkable community.
Yeah, it's very amenity driven now, right? Especially not only restaurants, bars, you know, people want to park once and do their things. We're seeing daycares and other kinds of uses as amenities to buildings.
And is these cost, is it impacting both residential and commercial projects?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The construction costs have gone up substantially. I'm sitting on eggshells because my bids for my new Davidson development at 480 South Main are coming in Friday, and I fully expect them to be above my budget and have to work hard to get it back into budget, unless people want to pay $60 a square foot in rent, which I know they don't want to do. So it's a challenge as a developer right now to make the deals pencil out.
You know, Charles, when you and I met in 1996, it's been that long, and when I came to work for the Chamber and you were one of the first people I met, at that particular point, the internet was really in its infancy, and we just didn't, we still used fax machines to communicate. We didn't really do email. They used to call the Chamber of Commerce to get, you know, list of our, you know, our people who inquired about real estate. But now, you know, many times people are looking for, whether it's a commercial property or residential property, they've already gone online and they've seen it, and, you know, they can see the whole house and interior and everything. But why is it important with so much access to online material that people who are looking at commercial properties and residential properties, why should they consult a real estate professional?
Well, there's still a lot of landmines out there that you don't think about. I'll give you just a simple example. In a commercial lease, one of the things that we negotiate very hard on behalf of our tenants is the language around the HVAC equipment. And that's something that you don't think is a big deal. Well, it is a big deal if the tenant has 6 months left on the lease and the air conditioning goes out and they read their lease and realize they are responsible for buying a new $12,000 HVAC mm-hmm. system, and the landlord has it in there to protect the landlord's interest. So little things like that can be quite expensive for a tenant or a landlord if you're sitting on the other side of the fence. That's just a simple example.
Knox Group's got its hands in a lot of different things in our market, outside of this market too, but you've got two primarily, one here in Cornelius, one taking place in Davidson. Can you speak to those two projects?
Yeah, we're real excited about both of them. Oak Street Mill is right adjacent to the new Kane Center for the Arts, which is a great facility that's been built in Cornelius. It's a historic mill built in two different phases. We're not exactly sure when they were built. We think one phase around 1902 and another around 1920, but they're both phases are 100 years old. Great bones to the building. We look forward to creating a much more dynamic tenant mix with restaurants and more retail and actually some real exciting Class A office. And then the second project we're working on is the one I was telling you about where I'm nervous about our bids coming in. that's 480 South Main. Much like Trent, we tried to get creative. We're working with Story Hill Church, and Story Hill was a rebrand of Lake Forest Davidson campus. And they bought a site and wanted to do a new church sanctuary in town. And the town, to their credit, didn't want it to all go church because they lose 100% of the tax base. So they created a nice mixed-use plan. So we're doing a building on the front, which has retail on the first floor and two floors of office above. So we're sharing the parking lot, and we have a little bit of an advantage over the zoning code in Davidson actually limits you to 3.5 parking spaces per 1,000 square feet of commercial space. Well, those of us in the commercial world know that that's okay if you're doing an office, maybe, but it's certainly not enough if you're doing a hair salon and a restaurant. Excuse me. And so the church has parking allocated, and we have parking, but basically we have parking lot during the week, and they have the parking on the Sundays.
Right.
So it's a great partnership.
Trent, we created an organization, and we decided to create it during COVID. Or actually, we created it, then COVID happened. But it's called Leaders and Legends, and it's an opportunity to get our entrepreneurs together with some of our Lake Norman legends. Both Kathleen and Charles are part of that. And Charles said something about 6 months ago at one of the meetings. They went around the room and said, what kind of advice do you have for other entrepreneurs? And Charles, you said something that still, to this day, you talked about the taking the risk. And it's the risk you didn't take, or you thought there were people smarter than you in the room and you didn't take that. Share that here, because that was profound for me.
Well, I think the entrepreneurs that I've been around through my career, and I'm a member of the Charlotte chapter of Entrepreneurs Organization, and we have chapters all over the country. And one thing I have learned is that we all have some level of imposter syndrome, and we're afraid that we're taking, you know, should we take that risk? But in truth and in fact, we should take more risk. We Right. should be willing to have more confidence in ourselves, because we do have that ability and we do have that knowledge base to make something happen. And I'm not sure if that's exactly what I said 6 months ago or it's whatever, close. But
we've got about 2 minutes left. And the Chamber of Commerce, we came out a couple of years ago and we supported the North State Development Project, which is transforming downtown Huntersville, Mills Market, which is going to be transformative to Cornelius. You are our downtown, you're a business consultant on that. You've had a lot of opinions. What do you think Mills Market and North State will do for the downtowns of Huntersville and Cornelius?
Oh, I think it'll help enliven them. I mean, for so long, you know, we really struggled with our downtowns, with the exception of Davidson. And that didn't, a lot of people thought that was an overnight success, but it really was an overnight success that took 15 years. So, I think it once you get more activity, and particularly with residential within a community or as part of a project, whether it be a project or a downtown, you know, it creates automatic foot traffic. And, I think it's helpful to have all of our downtowns. It's all about quality of place and quality of life, and people want to be able to easily get to neat things to do. The challenge with the cost of construction going up is a lot of these small businesses, they have to be really aggressive in terms of getting the amount of business that they can justify the rent structure. So now we're seeing, particularly in retail, and Trent knows this, is that, you know, any small retailer or any small business has to have a combination of both a brick and mortar retail operation as well as an online presence, because it's very difficult to make it just one way or the other.
Trent, we got 1 minute. Best business advice you were ever given in 30 seconds.
Work hard. You'll always work hard. And work hard. that's what it boils down to.
Kathleen, 15 seconds. What's the best business advice you ever received?
Oh, goodness. Never fall in love with your real estate. No, I think it's the same thing. It's just that resiliency and not giving up and jumping in when times are bad and really learning how to thrash through it.
Well, I have appreciated all three of you being here talking about the development we have going on in the Lake Norman market. If it's Wednesday afternoon, we're talking about our towns on Town Talk on WSIC. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Serving you better than ever before. WSIC Statesville, W290DK Mooresville, W264CU Statesville.